Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, The Appearance of Sri Narada, Text Number 15, to begin with. Sakadachit Sarasvatya.
Sakadachit Sarasvatya.
Upasprisha Jalam Suchi.
Upasprisha Jalam Suchi.
Vivekta Eka Asina.
Vivekta Eka Asina.
Udite Ravi Mandale. Sakadachit Sarasvatya. Upasprisya Jalam Suchi. Vivikta Eka Asina. Udite Ravi Mandale. Sadakachit Sarasvatya. Pita Jalam Suchi. Vivikta Eka Asina. Udite Ravi Mandale. Sakadachit Sarasvatya. Aditya Upajivi. Sarasvatya Vajpisha Jalam Suchi Ega Asina Udate Ravi Mandale. Ladies, it's Sarasvatya Vajpisha Jalam Suchi Vivikta Eka Asina Udite Ravi Mandale Sarasvatya Vaisvitya Ram Suji Vivikta Eka Asina Udite Ravi Mandale Sahi Kadache, once, Sarasvatya, on the bank of the Sarasvati, Upasprisya, after finishing morning oblations, Jalam, water, Suchi, being purified, Vivikta, concentration. Eka, alone. Asina, being thus, seated. Udite, on the rise. Ravi Mandale, of the sun disk. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Once upon a time, he, Vyasadeva, as the sun rose, took his morning oblation in the waters of the Sarasvati and sat alone to concentrate. Purport, the river Sarasvati is flowing in the Bhadarika Ashram area of the Himalayas. So the place indicated here is some Shamya Prasha in the Badik Ashrama, where Sri Vyasadeva is residing. I'm going to read the next text. The great sage Vyasadeva saw anomalies in the duties of the millennium. This happens on the earth in different ages due to the unseen force of time. Purport. The great sages like Vyasadeva are liberated souls, and therefore they can see clearly past and future. Thus he could see the future anomalies in the Kali Yuga, and accordingly he made arrangements for the people in general so that they could execute a progressive life in this age, which is full of darkness. The people in general in this age of Kali are too much interested in matter, which is temporary. Because of ignorance, they are unable to evaluate the essence of life and be enlightened in spiritual knowledge. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarne. Lord Krishna begins Bhagavad Gita with explaining that the body and the soul are different. For those who are absorbed in the Bali concept of life, hearing this is called enlightenment. In other words, the whole material world is trying to exist, as Prabhupada said, outside of misery. And the main misery is death. So one finds out that one is not going to die. To some extent, that takes away some of the misery. If one realizes that he's not going to die, then he becomes prasanatma, he becomes jolly or joyful. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam is there because we find, as we know, Vyasadeva was lamenting. We wouldn't expect Vyasadeva to lament after compiling the entire Vedic literature, because you're not supposed to lament if you're a self-realized person, at least not materially lament. But he was lamenting that he didn't know why he was unhappy, and Narada Muni informed him that you haven't adequately glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore Vyasadeva Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihitaye Male Apaishat Purusham Purnam Maya Chattad Apashrayam. Vyasadeva sat in his meditation and he saw Krishna, and then he saw on the backside of Krishna was illusion. So there are two things. There is illusion and there is Krishna. And for those who can see Krishna, then gradually the illusion goes away. As much as we're able to perceive Krishna, then gradually our illusion goes away. And one can understand what is our destination. For those who are not in Krishna consciousness, as it says here, one can still see what their destination is, because basically speaking, the material nature acts uniformly. As it says that sattvam sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobha evacha pramado moha tamaso bhavatam jnana evacha. That when one acts in the mode of goodness, he gets knowledge. And when he acts in passion, he gets greed. And when he acts in the mode of ignorance, madness, illusion, and bewilderment. Karmana sukritasya hu, sattvikam nirmalam pulam, rajasat pulam dukam, agena tamasa pulam. And if we act in goodness, then there is sattvam sukhe sanjayati. Then there is opening of consciousness or happiness. And if we act in passion, then there's dukkha, there's closing of consciousness. Consciousness becomes more and more restricted, and that's called unhappiness. And if we act in ignorance, madness, foolishness, and illusion, then we simply get more illusion. We get more and more bewildered. Therefore, if one sees someone acting in the mode of ignorance, one can understand what the result will be. If we see someone acting in the mode of passion, we can understand what the result will be. If we see someone acting in the mode of goodness, we can understand what the result will be. Similarly, if we act in the mode of transcendental, then we can understand what the result will be. If we're very complicated, that is, if we don't have any knowledge, then we can't see. But for one who actually is trained in knowledge, ukramantam sitim vapi bunjana vagunam vita, vimuro nana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So we're supposed to be trained with knowledge by the great sages, hearing their knowledge coming down into simple succession. We're supposed to be trained to see things properly. The Kanisadhikari can't see things from the spiritual point of view, nor can the Kanisadhikari adequately see things from the material point of view. Although for the Kanisadhikari, it goes from the afflicted to those who desire material assets, to those who are inquisitive, even to one in knowledge, the Brahman, who understands, well, first of all, he understands that there's no happiness in the material world, and one can understand that actually one is an illusion, that a Brahman understands that I'm an illusion, but at least I understand everyone's a spiritual being. I may not know who I am, my spiritual identity, but at least now I know what I'm not, namely the material body. So that's called knowledge. That's the beginning of knowledge. Prabhupada even writes that actually the only civilized human civilization begins from the Brahman platform. To be a human being, you have to be a Brahman at least. So, one can understand from the Brahminical point of view how the material nature is working, how the modes of material nature are working, because one has come that far. But the Brahman may not understand at all how the spiritual nature is working. Therefore, in the Ishupanishad, it says we have to know both how the material nature is working and how the spiritual energy is working. If we only know how the material nature is working, we might get liberation, but that doesn't mean we're engaged in devotional service. On the other hand, have some knowledge of how the spiritual nature is working won't really become possible until we get out of the material conception of life. Although theoretically we may pride ourselves in our vast amount of material and spiritual knowledge, but actually theoretical knowledge is not the same thing as realized knowledge. But Vyasadeva and other sages, they're liberated, which means that they're fully, at least they're in the Brahman conception of life, if not engaged purely in devotional service. In the case of Śrīla Vyāsadeva, he was sitting there in meditation and he saw Krishna and he understood things properly. He understood Maya's subordination. He wasn't affected by Maya. But he saw yaya samohita jiva atmakam tri gunatmakam paropi manite narta tat prite chapajite tat kritam. He saw the living entities are in illusion and they're struggling to get out of their misery. So he understood that they want to avoid death. The whole material world is existing, trying to get out of death. The scientists, they promise us they'll free us from death. The spiritualists, they also promise the same thing. Everyone's promising freedom from death, because that is the main problem of life. Even Hiranyakashipu, he went through his austerity, not to lose weight, because he did lose weight. Lost quite a bit of weight. But he did it in order to become free from death, because he understood that unless you become free from death, then there is no question of actually becoming a controller in the material world. If we're going to die, that means we can't even control even one atom in our body. So what's the idea that we're the controller of anything in this world? But he was unsuccessful. What to speak of everyone else's attempt to get free from death? It's just a complete waste of time. It's just phantasmagoria. So on the other hand, everyone wants to get free from death. So what is the actual solution? Everyone try in their endeavor to become free from death, generally speaking, Kali Yuga, Tatashtanudinam Dharma, Satvam Socham Dayashama, Kalena Balira Rajan Nakshatnyanyor Balam Smriti. Day after day, because dharmic principles are diminishing, therefore all the good qualities that people have, whatever good qualities they might have, cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, tolerance, even physical strength and memory, they're all decreasing. So where is there any question of liberation? What to speak of peace, even peace or happiness? So people are going in the wrong direction. Although they're trying to go in the right direction, they have no idea what the right direction is. They're being promised by Andaya Tandiro Pigimanaste Pishatantra Urudami Bada. They're being promised that you follow me, I'll give you the path for peace and happiness. But they're blind, they're leaders, and therefore they don't know. Nitevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu Darashiaye Bahir Artamanina. They don't know that the goal of life is to reach Krishna. Therefore, they're all over, you can say, trying to squeeze some happiness out of the football game, out of going to the restaurant, the nightclub. They're looking for some peace and happiness, but they don't know. They're taking something completely insignificant as their immediate goal. But those who are actually in blissful Krishna consciousness, the acharyas, they know clearly that besides Krishna, everything else is tuchava, is insignificant. Therefore, one has to take shelter of the acharyas, their vision. They're telling us, if we do this, what's going to happen? If we do that, what's going to happen? And do what's necessary so we can come to the platform that they're on, a blissful Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one's first business is to place within one's heart the acharyas in disciplic succession. When we talk about acharyas, we don't mean just our initiating guru or even our instructing gurus, although they're included, but they're supposed to connect us with the disciplic succession. It is not simply we get some knowledge and then we give up the people who are giving us the knowledge. Srila Prabhupada was being helped up the hill by Bhavananda Prabhu. New Vrindavan, hilly place. And they got up the hill, and Prabhupada took Bhavananda Prabhu's hand and threw it away and says, "Now I'm up the hill, I don't need you anymore. Go away." So that's ungratefulness. So it is not that we have one personality who's helping us become Krishna conscious. We have a whole line of acharyas, a whole disciplic succession, which includes the six Goswamis, the Panchak Tattva, and by their mercy we become qualified to get Krishna's mercy. And then we have so many assistants of the acharyas who are giving us so much practical information, so much example, so much instruction to help us take shelter of all the acharyas in disciplic succession. And if we take shelter of them, then our heart becomes big. Because in the heart of every acharya is the other acharyas. And that leads us to getting the feelings of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the very essence of the teachings in Kali Yuga, this feeling of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore chanting Hare Krishna and the feeling of separation, which gives us the association of Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world. Then they are pleased to come and associate with us if that's what we want, if we actually really want. Therefore, Śrīla Vyāsadeva, or as it says, Krishne Sudama Upagate, Dharma Gyana Chapisaha, Kalo Nashta Drishame Sha Pra Narako Dunoditaha. Now that Krishna left, seemingly left, in the age of Kali, where is knowledge and religiosity? So where does it actually take place? So it is said, it's by Krishna Sudama Upagate, Dharma Gyana Chapisaha, Kalo Nashta Trishamesha Pararnarko Dunoditaha. So Śrīla Vyāsadeva has given us the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, which systematically tells us whatever place we're at in this universe, whatever our consciousness is, what the next step forward is to actually get to the goal of life. First of all, what is the goal of life is explained. Sambandha. How to get to it is explained. Abhideya. And what is it like to experience it? Prayojana. That's all outlined in the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. So it's not a, if we don't follow the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, we don't get the knowledge of Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we're simply lost. We may get so many other kinds of knowledge, material knowledge, even spiritual knowledge, but without this knowledge, then Punak punas charvata charvanana. We simply have to come back in the material world and chew the chewed constantly. Therefore, anarto pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga dahokshaje, that Śrīla Vyāsadeva, he compiled the Bhagavatam, anarto pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga dahokshaje. What's that? Yes. That he understood that people in this age, there are so many problems that are going on, so many conceptions and propensities outside of Krishna consciousness, but to convince us of the importance and the methodology of Krishna consciousness, Śrīla Vyāsadeva compiled the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. As it goes, Dharma, Anarto pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga dahokshi lokasya janato vidvam chakri satita samhita. So we're blind. It's not that some people are blind. We're all blind. Anyone who identifies themselves, even to the slightest degree, with this body, they must be blind. They can't see themselves, so that's what more blindness can you have? You may have perfect 20, one may have perfect 20/20 vision, but one can't see one's own self. In the mirror, just look in the mirror and see who we see. We see ourselves, or we just see the reflection of ourselves. So we're blind, but the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam will gradually give us spiritual light. And that's real light, actually give us real vision. I remember one time Prabhupada came to Boston in 1969, and I was a member of the Buffalo Temple, but we all came to greet him. In Boston. First we went to New York and we did Harinam there. And then we went to Boston. They were just opening the temple in Boston on Beacon Street. And they installed the ISKCON Press there. Prabhupada came to see the ISKCON Press. So I remember Prabhupada was, we were doing bhajan in the second floor. It was a two-story building. And I saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glowing. There was a same picture still there in the Boston Temple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his hands out. And I was wondering why he was glowing. I didn't think our kirtan was that good. And then suddenly Prabhupada walked up the steps and the whole room turned into Vaikuntha. Everyone was completely absorbed, you know, it was a different world. Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasan and took a look at me. And I could see Prabhupada could actually see who I was. I couldn't see who I was, but Prabhupada could see who I was. I could see Prabhupada actually had spiritual vision. So it's not just like by reading the Bhagavatam, we get some theoretical knowledge, but one will actually see things as they actually are if we apply it within our lives. If we get Krishna's mercy, if we become Krishna conscious, we actually see Krishna, then we'll actually see everything as it really is. I remember one time I was in Dallas. I was the first I went through, I was the temple president, and then by some manipulation, I became the treasurer. Such was things even at that time. And then when I was the treasurer, my temple president, he loved to spend money. Unfortunately, we didn't have any money to spend, but he loved to spend it, especially on phone calls. And then gradually, our Sankirtan party, because I was also the Sankirtan leader, and I was the treasurer, and we depended completely on book distribution for survival. But then gradually, the Sankirtan devotees, they all got married and left, and I was the only one left. And I didn't really like downtown Dallas very much. It wasn't my favorite place. A couple of years before that, the first time we went out in Dallas for book distribution, we went out door to door and we were all arrested. Four of us got arrested. And they charged us for imitating women. Because we had dhotis on. Luckily, although we spent the weekend in jail, luckily they let us out because the woman couldn't identify us. We had short hair, so I guess she was confused. In any case, it wasn't my favorite place, but somehow or another I dragged myself out to go downtown. I remember for around 20 minutes, Krishna put me in a completely different state of consciousness. I guess he was taking so much pity on me that I was in such misery that suddenly I saw everyone as actually a spiritual being. Not that I saw the soul, but everyone became very beautiful. And then when I saw everyone as very beautiful, everyone I approached took a back to Godhead, because that's what we were distributing at that time. And I was just like amazed. It wasn't the same old struggle, because I saw everyone as being very beautiful. They actually looked like they came from the spiritual world or something, or heavenly planets. And everyone was so happy and nice, and everyone took a back to Godhead. And then I distributed all my back to Godheads in a very short period of time. And then my regular consciousness came back. And I was back in Dallas, downtown Dallas. But then I realized what I thought was downtown Dallas was just a product of my imagination. That Krishna gave me some experience for a very brief period of time, actually where I really was. And it wasn't where I thought I was. So when we actually become enlightened eventually, that's not the highest level of consciousness. But certainly we'll go through these different levels of consciousness as we make progress, and then we'll actually understand gradually where we really are, rather than where we think we are. Then we'll actually understand what is really the past, present, and future. Prabhupada said, actually in the material world there is no past, present, and future. That 5 million years ago people are eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And guess what they're doing today? I can tell you everywhere in the whole universe what people are going to do, because I'm an astrologer. Actually, they're going to eat, they're going to sleep, they're going to mate and defend. And I can tell you 5 billion years from now what everyone's going to do. That's because I'm an astrologer. They're going to eat, they're going to sleep, they're going to mate, and they're going to defend. So this is going on. Nothing else, nothing's really going to change. Maybe the dress will change, the food will change, where we're going to sleep is going to, but everything's going to go on. Punat, punaschara, vichachara, vanana. And when we become Krishna conscious, then we'll not only realize that, but we'll actually become disgusted with it. And therefore we'll try to get the platform of nitya, 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 nyava, yavana, nitya, yavana, vanavana. The platform where everything is ever fresh and new all the time. That is Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes, pretty good.
Thank you, Maharaj. wonderful class. Just on this, one of these last points you were making about, you know, everybody's now is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and five, whatever it was, 1,000, 100, 1,000,000 years ago, everybody was doing that, and 5,000,000,000 years in the future, that's, they're going to be doing that as well. So I'm under the impression that in the higher planetary systems, they don't have gross material bodies. Just like, you know, we don't see Bhumandala, we don't see Mount Meru. It's there. It's, you know, 2/3 of 1,000,000 miles high and made of gold, and we don't see it. You know, from what I can understand, we don't see certain, with our gross material senses, we're not able to perceive some of these higher realms of the universe. So I guess they have, if that's correct, then I'm assuming they have subtle bodies. So do they have subtle sense objects? Are they eating subtle food and having subtle sex? You know, how does it work?
Gross material bodies, just like we have. They may be of a different, what we think is gross and subtle maybe has to be explained. Bhumi arapanalo vayu kama kamano bhu evacha ahankara iti yame bhini prakriti ashtada. That's what Krishna says. Everyone has a body like that, even Brahma. But earth means not maybe the earth that we see here. It means anything that's solid is considered earth. Anything that's solid, anything that flows is considered liquid. Anything that liquid holds things together. Anything that's a fiery that helps transformation is considered to be in the fire category. Anything that moves things is considered to be in the air category. And anything that holds things, all the other elements together, is within the ethereal category. So the sun planet, they have gross bodies. They have fires made, Prabhupada said many, many times, that they have bodies made out of fire. But it may not be the fire that we see. Well, sometimes it is. Agni appears in the fire sacrifice, so he's a demigod. So he's part of the fire sacrifice. But they can also, they may have a gross body, but they may appear in a gross body that we can't see. There's many things on the gross platform we can't see with our present eyes. Many things with our present ears on the gross platform we can't hear because our senses are very limited, even to earth, water, fire, air, and ether.
So let's take this example of Mount Meru again. It's said in the Bhagavatam it's made of gold. So is that like an ethereal gold?
No, not necessarily. This means we can't. Who knows what's blocking our vision from Mount Meru? We can't see anything. Or maybe it's made out of a gold we can't see. But we can't. How much can we actually see? We can't. We don't even know, you know, what's blocking our vision from all the. We can see the sun made out of fire. It's a heavenly planet, the sun. But we don't know, you know, what we can't see. There's a description, and maybe some sages can see it. Sages can see it when they get the vision. But we don't know. First of all, we don't know what our... Is it limited by our vision, or is it limited by just its position, or our position? Well, the obstacles between us and those objects, we have no idea. And we're quite conditioned by material scientists. Not that everything they say is wrong, but we're quite conditioning by their perception of things. But we all have four defects. One of them is imperfect senses. Anything else? Well, one thing is certain, that the demigods die, your subtle body doesn't die. They have to fall down from the heavenly planets. They fall down their subtle body. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.